meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Everlast is our guest tonight.
Yes, sir.
Everlast, it says here that we've not seen him since the 30th of October 2000. But that,
whoa, 2 years now. Really?
Nah. Yeah, I've been in the honeycomb hideout for about, like, you know, 9-10 months. I just wanted to relax.
Drew, do you remember where the honeycomb hideout is?
Yeah, hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
That's Don Magic Wand's apartment.
Oh, that's
Come
right.
Come on,
that's
man.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was great. I walked into that. We did a man show bit. Don Magic Wand was in here with Snoop Dogg a couple of nights ago, and this guy is the pimp of all pimps.
Judge.
And he everything he does, everything he says, he's pimp, like he bleeds pimp, he craps pimp.
Smiles pimp.
He hawks up pimp.
He
smiles
pimp.
He preaches pimp.
Literally.
He looks more pimpy than pimp. Like if he was walking down a street and a cop was looking for a pimp, they wouldn't stop him because they think he was in a movie.
Halloween, yeah.
He's like too pimpy.
Yeah.
So we went over to his, you know, he constantly has like a small posse of mid-20s scary-looking black guys who smoke weed on his sofa. And me and Jimmy walk in there to do a man show bit, and it was like a scene from was a scene from Animal House where, like, we come walking in and there's like eight guys sitting on the sofa blowing weed, and we're like, howdy, fellas, and they all kind of look up real slow and then look back down again and don't say anything. But have you been to the honeycomb hideout?
No, I haven't been to his apartment. That's just, you know, lingo.
You haven't. Oh, you weren't even. Were you not even talking about his honeycomb hideout?
I was talking about mine.
Oh, because
we thought there was only one.
Yeah, because Snoop was in here Monday night talking about going to the honeycomb hideout, which was his. Oh, there could be some trouble here at this smokeout if you start.
that's my man.
There could really only
green
be
for the money and go for the honey.
That's
man.
Right.
I know what time it
all
is.
All right,
you know?
All right, all right.
Those are my people. Snoop is my man.
Everlast is going to be at the smokeout this Saturday,
Judge,
which is going on at the Coliseum. I feel stupid even talking about it anymore because you're the last guy to come in here. We had Edema, and then Snoop Dogg, and then Tommy Chong, and then Cypress Hill last night, and now we have Everlast in here, and it's all for the smokeout, which is going on at 3 o'clock at the Coliseum this Saturday. And then what else for Everlast after this?
I'm just going to start making a record. Like I said, I've just been relaxing, enjoying life, you know?
You know, when you take time off, what do?
Me personally, not much.
I mean, when you say, like, off, taking a few months off, would you be writing some songs?
Yeah, you always write. Yeah, you're always writing, you know. I mean, I've spent, like, four or five months in New York recently just, you know, just kind of being. You know, you got to absorb. You know, you write a record. Some guys can turn them out, like, every year. I give them all the, you know.
Right.
Respect in the world. But me, I need to, like, come home and absorb a bunch of things and come up with some new things to think about and write about.
In a way, it's like a collection regurgitation. Like, you got to eat a lot or you got nothing to vomit back into the toilet.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just like think, vomit.
You have to binge in order to purge.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's accumulated. He's written about all the previous experiences that have been prominent in his experience in his mind, and now he's accumulating more experiences to write about.
Yeah, and I think the people that just keep purging, after a while, it's like, what's coming out of you? Yeah. You're just making up vomit.
Well, I mean, a lot of that kind of music is just more formulaic than what I do. You know what I'm saying? They got an idea exactly what they want to do before they even start. I got to invent a new whole category of something every time I do something. At least in my own mind, I feel that way. So,
well, I mean, it is true with you that, you know, House of Pain stuff was quite a bit different than the solo stuff, and you do seem to change your sound and take a turn each time you put something out. So you think you're going to take another turn when this comes out?
I have to. You know, I mean, it's the only way I know. You know, I don't know how to do this. Nobody taught me this at home. So, you know, and I'm just not about putting the same record out or trying to keep up. You know, I'm just trying to create. I'm trying to hit that, you know, my goal is at the end of the day, which is a lifetime, you know, to have a body of work that's, you know, worth looking at, you know?
Right. And so you'll go into the studio in the upcoming weeks or months?
Yeah, I've been dabbling here and there, you know, just working on a little bit of music and taking some time and working on a little bit more. And,
do you have a studio at your house?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm interested. That's such an artist, a true artist sort of attitude. Did you grow up thinking that way? Was the artist your
family? Nah, I kind of lucked into the whole thing. You know, it's like, I mean, because of what happened with me, which you guys know about, I had this whole, I was born for heart defect. I had the surgery. Just post that, it's like my whole, you know, I always felt like that kind of arty kind of thing where you're kind of like, oh, don't be such an artist, you know. Mm-hmm. But now I just feel a lot more. I got to do, I'm not going to regret or be scared to do something because, you know, it ain't what's going on.
Right.
You
so know what I mean? Somebody said you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, it's always the dude who's thinking outside the box who, like, changes things anyways, you know. And if you could just change a few things here and there, you'll be known as somebody who did some things. You know what I'm saying?
What about House of Pain? Does anyone talk about, like, doing some kind of reunion or something like that?
You know, every once in a while, me and Lee or me and Danny will be sitting around and, you know, we'll kick it around. But it's like, you know, it's almost like, you know, it would have to be really good for me to, I mean, it, like.
But they want to do it, I bet, right?
It's not like anybody, I mean, I've wanted to do it at certain points, but, like, the more I think about it, the more it's like, it would have to be so good to me.
Right.
It'd be almost an impossible level to achieve, almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would just take a lot of commitment, and, you know, up until recently, you know, I don't know. I know Lee's working on a Limp Bizkit record. You know, D was working on a music project. You know, so.
So they're staying busy. They're not just calling you every week saying, are you ready yet?
Nah, man. You know, Lee for a while. Yo, Lee is a bigger rock star than me, dude.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Unless you're talking about Lee Greenwood, I say no.
Well, record-wise, selling records, what I mean?
Well, that's not the way I count rock
stardom. Well, that's the way. That's really what counts, though, for most folks, you know what I'm saying?
Well, not us, because we haven't sold out, right, Drew?
Hey,
that's,
man,
right.
You know,
we're keeping it
down.
Down.
Down, real.
All right, let's stick
I'm
some,
keeping it real, yeah.
Stick some phone calls. Misty.
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question. This is kind of actually a little embarrassing. My boyfriend, it's kind of a, I need a male opinion, and it's my boyfriend, he has a habit of masturbating a lot.
How often?
It's an everyday thing, and we have sex at least twice a day.
Does it affect his ability to have sex with you?
No, but...
Are you pushing the sex twice a day, or is that something that's sort of his rhythm?
It's both of us, really.
Both of you, all right.
All right. But, and how do you know he's doing it every day?
Because I'll find, like, evidence. Like, I'll find, like, the porno books behind the bed and the lotion and,
all right.
The little...
He doesn't try to cover his trail? I mean, that's...
I think he does, but I think he doesn't think that I'm going to go looking for
him. All right, but here's the deal. For a guy to be having regular sex with a girlfriend or wife and also masturbating is completely normal.
It?
However, yes. However... In this case, we got Misty, who sounds 8. We got a couple that's having sex extraordinarily frequently, and the guy's masturbating.
And she referred to porno mags as porno books, which scares me. It's like Ellie Mae Clampett talking about, he had one of them porno books and put that cream on his ding-a-ling. And then he gyrated with his hand until something that looked like a liquid pearl come out of his penis and hopped right into the Kleenex.
She's Andy Griffith comedian today.
Yeah. So Misty.
Yes. This doesn't mean that.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that voice?
Yeah.
Hold on, Misty. No,
you're
it doesn't
20,
mean that.
You're 24.
Yes.
Sound 8.
Yeah. Anything happen when you were younger? Any trauma?
No. Why do you always ask people that have little voices?
Because it usually means something happened.
A, B, C, D.
Yeah. That was a 55-year-old woman who'd been molested.
I'm 24 years old. I'm very small. I'm 5 feet tall.
Okay. All right. And everything's good with you. No, I don't mean that somebody sexually molested you, but you know, sometimes alcoholic pops or little abuse, something like that.
No, well, nothing. I had alcoholic father, but what does that have to do with my
brother? No, that's got nothing to do with
it. Yeah. Yeah, why would he bring it up if it had nothing to do with it, Misty?
It just what happened? Is he still an alcoholic?
No, he's dead.
What did he die from?
Cirrhosis of the liver.
So he must have been out of control when you were growing up.
No, he wasn't around. He was incarcerated most of my life.
Why was he incarcerated? Mm-hmm. For having sex with Misty.
No.
Why was he incarcerated?
He was for things he did. I don't know.
You have no idea?
No.
Okay, but... Hold on. Misty goes from, why do you always make this accusation? Everything was fine. How dare you? To serious, full-blown alcoholic. Dad died of cirrhosis of the liver and incarcerated and doesn't want to talk about why he was incarcerated. So she's starting to help us make our point
of
here.
Of course.
Misty?
Yes?
So why was he incarcerated?
It wasn't shared with me. It wasn't something that my family was proud of.
Oh, you don't have to be proud of things in order for you to know.
How old were you when he was incarcerated?
It was when I was little. It was like most, you know, he was in and out of my life. My grandmother raised me.
Where was your mom?
My mom was not around either.
Why?
She was also into drugs and alcohol.
Okay, Misty, it doesn't get more traumatic than this, really. Okay, are you aware of that?
I'm a strong person, really. I mean, it just made me stronger.
Well, it left a mark on you, and we detected it. And that's fine. It's fine that you're good, but it's fine that you're able to have stable relationships, and it's good that you feel like a strong person. But you don't go through trauma like that and not have it not affect you, okay? And we pick up on those things. We know when that's there. We can hear people's voices. We listen to people's voices every night. We can tell when that's there. And that's there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that it has made you sort of maybe a little sexually compulsive, okay? And certainly sort of preoccupied about men and their sexuality in a way that's not real realistic.
All right, so Misty.
Yes.
Maybe a little counseling, a little therapy for all the abuse in the past.
Okay, I haven't had any abuse in my past.
Abandonment. Okay, let's use a different word. Abandonment.
Okay. That's fine.
And and don't worry about what he's doing. I'm a little concerned about him because he's got a compulsive quality to his sexuality too. So we'd sort of predict he was a trauma survivor.
Do you have any kids?
No, we just lost a baby.
I mean, that wasn't a sigh. You're kind of glad, weren't you?
I was glad, except I know there's another one coming. Probably.
You got another one coming?
Huh?
Drew, don't be glad she lost a baby. How'd you lose a baby?
That wasn't a sigh.
Yes, it was.
I had ectopic pregnancy.
Okay. So you got to use birth control, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What are you doing?
You're having sex 80 times a week, right? You're going to get pregnant again.
What are you doing for birth control?
Right now, condoms.
Okay, but you're having sex twice a day, every day. You're going to have to get on birth control, right?
Yeah, but we want to try to have a baby.
See what I'm saying here? Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, do you see what this country's coming to? But Misty, look, sweetie, you're young, and what does this guy do for a living?
He's in customer service.
Okay, so he's not making a ton of bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
I work for a grocery store.
Okay, so you guys are not the Rockefellers.
Okay.
You're both young.
Mm-hmm.
You got, believe it or not, some issues from the past, mm-hmm. being abandoned by your parents, the alcohol, the drug, the incarceration, all that stuff. You got to solve these issues just a little bit so you become a good parent.
See, we'd bet you that your boyfriend may be maybe an alcoholic or something. You kind of go for that, having been imprinted by the alcoholic dad. Is he a little drinking or pot thing going on?
He used to drink a lot, but
okay. All right. Well, there's one of the residual of what your experience has left upon you.
Why try to have kids when you don't have any money and the guy's into the booze and it's like,
man.
Why?
I've been stumped for a minute.
Why do it to yourself? I mean, it's like saying, it's like you're going through life, your feet hurt, you went on the road for 20 miles, and somebody says, hey, how about you carry this potato sack? No, no one says, actually, how about you carry this potato sack? You bend down and pick up a sack full of sand and put it over your shoulder, which is already sore, and
sand,
just keep walking.
That was the sack you left that was your dad 20 years before. Same sack.
Right.
Just pick it up again, start walking.
Yeah, you know, why bend over and pick it up? Why attempt? You know, why not just keep walking until you can find some shade and rest your feet,
kind of thing? The genius of the human being. that no one will acknowledge.
I believe that's the same thing as the moral of Pandora's box, basically. You know, is you're going to do it. You're going to do what you ain't supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or what's, you know, if there's something that says this, you're going to screw up if you do this.
Right.
You're more than likely, you're going to go and do it.
Yeah, I know. And now they're like, they're trying to have kids. Oh, my God. All right, Misty. Therapy. Please, everybody, you can't be screwed up and be a good parent. It's really hard. It really is.
That's why I'm not a parent. Yo, believe it.
Hey, we're right
please
here.
Believe
we're
it. Here, I'm up. One that will say, hey, I don't not have babies yet because I would screw one up badly.
But you would not, and I don't know how old you are now, but 10 years ago, think of what you would have done to a kid. You would have smoked him.
He wouldn't have seen
and
me.
What's scarier?
Yeah, yeah. I've been gone
what's
for scarier, 10 years.
I'd give 10 kids to Everlast before I'd give one to Misty.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Go get them.
Thank you, Drew.
Go get those kids. 10 kids.
That'll be a nice football team. Well, we could field a baseball team.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely field a baseball team.
All boys.
With a relief pitcher.
Yeah, or sometimes you do that fourth outfielder. You do that rover thing. I mean, if you can agree on it with the other team. Joel?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah, I just had a quick question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've been going out with my girlfriend for almost a year now.
Was she on the phone a few minutes ago? No, I thought I saw a girl's name up there that was going to ask this question, but go ahead.
Basically, she cannot stand anyone touching her elbows, like, ever. And
so what? What do you know? Why do you want to touch her elbows?
Well, like, I don't necessarily, but, like, you can't hold your own elbow in front of her without her throwing, like, a fit.
So something, she learned something
what
somewhere.
What do you mean hold your own elbow?
It grosses her out or it makes her feel willies or what?
She feels claustrophobic, and I was just wondering how she can feel claustrophobic if, like, someone holds her elbow or if we hold our own elbow.
This is similar to the last call in that things get imprinted on our brain that we can't always understand. What's wrong with
like a little headlock?
Somebody
thing?
Had her, yeah. Someone had her when she was a little kid or something.
She said that it started like 2 years ago when I guess some girl at her school, whenever she talked to her, held her elbows, and she just has a phobia about it now.
It's usually not. These things don't start when you're 15. They start when you're 4.
Did she pull her hair or something like that?
No, not usually. She's not like a nervous person at all.
She had no other compulsive stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It has an OCD quality to it.
Joel?
Yep.
So you just stay away from her elbows, right?
Yeah, I try, but it's very irresistible when, you know, it pisses her off. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
When you're a 17-year-old dude, what are you going to do? You're poking her elbows all the time.
Yeah.
Are you kidding, Adam? What would you do? Imagine your buddy Chris had an elbow thing.
Oh, well, those are my friends. If I was trying to have sex with them, I wouldn't do it. At 17, you want to piss off the one person on the planet who's letting you have sex with them. Right, Joel?
Yes, it's very difficult.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because on one hand, you found their Achilles heel on their elbow, and it's so accessible and easy to get. On the other hand,
it's funny.
Here's someone who actually has a vagina, and she'll let you use it, and you're not going to find another one of them. There's plenty of people you can bug. How many people can you screw?
She'll let you use it.
Yes.
It's incredible.
I know.
I can use it against her sometimes, but, you know, it's
hold on, the vagina or the elbows?
No, that can be used against you for the rest of your life, believe me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, when you're a kid, it was always great if, like, my sister had, like, her Huggy blanket or one of her dolls or something that I knew she loved. Because then if all hell broke loose, I could always go for that, and then I could hold it up, and then I could start punching it or torturing it. It was like a piece of them that they left behind.
It's like what your girlfriend did with your cars in later life.
Yeah, later on. Yeah. As adults, this is what guys... Well, it's not so much your girlfriend's. Like, your car becomes like your adult Huggy blanket. Like, if you're dating some chick, and her ex-boyfriend comes by and sees your car parked out front of the house while you're in the house, he'll take a key to it.
Right, now, right.
Yeah, that becomes the thing that's out there.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's stick one more call.
Are we going to hear every last song?
I don't know if he brought anything. Did you bring anything?
Oh, nothing new, no.
All right.
Where's a mold?
It'll be all over the internet or tomorrow, and I'll, you know, Right. Oh, then what do I do?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll hear something. First off, Drew, it'd be on the screen.
Who else is on the smoke out?
I got the Bacchan like John McEnroe. That beach steps up, I'm smocking the hole. Yeah.
Hey, I am not mad at that song, dude. That song's going to be around, man. It's, you know.
You call your friend right back.
Hey, Steph.
I'm not sure who it is.
Come use it in my room.
Stephanie. Stephanie was on hold for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. All right, Drew, you want to hear another Everlast song?
I want to hear one of the songs that you used to do. How about a House of Pain song where you used to, the ones that you used to
That
use.
Was it.
And also the, what's
Beaches
the
ain't but hoes and tricks. Soak on these balls and leak on these Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Everlast is our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We should score some hoes.
That was, by the way, this is all in reference to Team, the fat Russian rapper kid who used to be the friend of my Catholic little brother, Nate, who used to come around with us when I took him to the beach. And he'd be like, House of Pain is so dope. This is about 10 years ago, and he's 15, about 250 pounds. And he's like, he'd be like, oh, I am so down with the House of the Pain.
We got to find this kid. We really do.
Oh, he's got to be in jail or the gulag or something. They must have shipped him back. This kid was a troublemaker. But he came here from Russia, and he was probably only here for about 4 or 5 years, and he had this thick accent, but he was trying to be American so badly that he became a little gangster rapper, and he would just be sitting in back. And first off, the thing that was funny about him is the guy's name was Tim. But I'd say, so what's your name? And he'd say, Team. And I'd say, Team? And he'd go, no, Team. And I'd say, Team, right? And he'd go, no, not Team, Team. And I'd say, like basketball team, right? No, not Team. Not the basketball team, Team. He cannot say Tim. He couldn't say it, so eventually it would be like, oh, so your name is, you're Tim. And he'd go, that is right, Team. That's what I've been saying. And he would be rapping in the back of my car all the way out to the beach, and he'd be like, we have got to get some bitches. I mean, it was like
13.
Yeah, it was like 13 and a half at the time. And it was like traveling with one of the swinging Czechoslovakian brothers from Saturday Night Live. And the one thing that was really pathetic is it was so sad. My guy Nate was like 13. You know, boys are incredibly awkward when they're like 13 or 14. They got like big Adam's apples and bad skin, and their voice is cracking, and their elbows are too big, and they can't walk right because their bones are growing and stuff. And this guy Nate was like novelty skinny. My guy was like beanpole skinny. And Tim was, you know, 250 pounds, but they're both like 13. And I said, they're like, oh, we are never going to meet any women. He was lamenting from the back seat. And I turned around. And I was trying to be like a good big brother. I said, oh, no. You guys, you know, once you guys hit high school next year, once you guys get into ninth grade, you get all kinds of ladies, all kinds. And they took a beat, and then Tim piped up, and he goes, who are you kidding? Nate is too skinny, and I'm too fat. I was like, all right, well, yep, that's true. Everlast is here. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Everlast is in studio tonight. Everlast can be found at the Smokeout, which is going on this Saturday. In
Smoking Out.
Los Angeles, which is at the L.A. Coliseum, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. And, see, who's going on? No, wait. Who's going on last? Cypress Hill going on last.
Snoop Dogg.
Didn't they say that? Snoop, you got to be back there somewhere. What time are you going on? Do you have any idea?
At night.
There are 5 stages, remember, they say?
Yeah, they said there's like 40 bands.
I don't think the bands are playing until 2 a.m. Maybe there's like kind of rave tents and like there's going to be the whole function keep going. I mean, maybe.
Right.
That's pretty late.
Yeah. And
I'm going to be in bed by 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
After all that smoking out.
All right, let's talk to Stephanie, who we tried to speak to and hung up, or what happened to her?
Busted.
Let's see.
Stephanie?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I got with my best friend's boyfriend.
You got with him?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Just like...
Within the last hour?
No.
Oh,
when?
It was like last weekend.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Did you have sex with him?
No. Actually, it was like twice, actually. Sorry.
What'd you do with him?
Just, like, did a couple stuff, like...
Oral sex, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple stuff.
Uh-huh.
Good translation, Adam. Nice.
No, I know when they say no sex and then you go, what'd you do? They're like, that's oral.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, he wants to keep doing it, but should I tell her or what should I do?
I'm thinking bogus now.
Yeah.
Yeah, automatically. Like, yeah. Nothing could be further from reality than somebody thinking that.
Should I tell her? Yeah, you should probably tell her you're blowing her boyfriend. Yeah.
I haven't made it bogus, so if I'm just asking, like...
No.
He's my friend and everything, I just like, kind of do like him, though.
But you said that was your best friend, right?
Yeah.
Yo.
And you're wondering whether you should tell her?
Yeah.
So what if we said, yes, tell her?
Well, if this isn't bogus, then you are extremely whack person.
I feel bad about it.
Why are you acting stupid like that?
Well, let's call her right now.
No.
Why?
I don't know. I'm scared. It's like I'm all mixed up right now if I should tell her or not.
Yeah. Why would you want to tell her?
Because, I don't know, I feel really bad.
Yeah, but you're considering doing it again, aren't you?
Yeah.
And how would telling her make you feel better?
I don't know.
All right. I think there's a guy who put her up to this.
Yeah.
And I believe it's bogus. But why don't you tell your buddy to pipe up, your male buddy who's there? Go ahead.
Tell him to get on the phone.
Get on the phone. I want to talk to him.
Stephanie.
No, there's no...
Stephanie,
no,
put the guy on.
Yo, it was on the radio.
We already heard.
It was on the radio, darling.
That was my brother.
That was your brother?
I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah, and he had choked. I told him to get off the phone so I can talk.
All right.
All right, well, listen. Here's the deal. The only reason you'd want to tell her is to break them up. That's the only reason.
And do you want... You kind of like the guy?
Yeah.
All right, so you want to tell her. And you're going to tell her because you say you feel you should be honest, but really you'd like to break them up so that you could go out with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, there we go. Tape recording.
Better, yeah.
All right,
Stephanie.
Hey, AIDS Butler's there.
There he is. I asked to speak to the guy and you wouldn't put him on.
That's my brother. Get off the phone.
All right. Jesus Christ. Oh, the show, Drew. I've said it a million times, though. Thank God the show goes from 10 till midnight and you leave. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Imagine if this was like, if this was TV, it'd be like, well, we can't use that call. Now we're going to be here an extra 10 minutes because we got to make this.
No, but radio, it just is what it is.
I know.
The beauty on many levels.
I remember one time there was a huge power outage and the entire studio shut down. And for the first like 10 seconds, I was like, what the hell? And then I was like, hey, this is great.
We'll go home.
I'm still getting paid. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the other beauty of that call is he liked AIDS Butler, Adam.
Did he?
Yeah, he said that.
Don't make me explain that again, but maybe during the commercial I'll tell Everlast about my great sitcom idea. It's called AIDS Butler, but it's funny. Oliver?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering if a guy can have a multiple orgasm.
What does that mean?
Wait.
Let's tell you what a multiple orgasm is.
Right?
You have one right after the other without ever stopping.
Same boner, new jizz.
That's right.
Yeah,
not that there's a brief period of rest.
Yeah, like, it was like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but that's not a multiple orgasm. Multiple orgasm means every 20 seconds.
Oh.
Boom, boom, boom.
Well, really? Well, what's it mean in a guy? I mean, no one's really defined it in a guy.
Because it doesn't exist, because it means no refractory phase. And refractoriness in a guy, even a 18-year-old, is going to be 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, but would you classify a guy who could maintain the same erection he had the first orgasm with into the second orgasm?
I'd say 18. That's what I'd say that was.
But would you call that a multi-orgasmic guy?
No, because there was still a refractory phase. Even though he didn't lose the erection, there was a period where he could not have another orgasm.
Yeah.
He just can't.
All right.
And that's what...
The well is dry, briefly.
Right. Right.
But for women, there's some women that have no refractory phase. They just keep going.
Yeah. Never met one of them.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oliver? Never seen one. Yeah. Never has seen this. This miracle of nature.
Yeah.
Ask him. It's your chance.
Who, me?
He's seen one.
What's it like, my friend, to have gone to the top of the mountain and seen these things?
It's frightening the first time. It's something wrong. That I think would have been impossible to fake.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It was like what I saw happen. It was to the point where you could just like touch the person and they're,
Well,
I couldn't really take a lot of credit for some of it, dude.
I would.
Hey, I mean, I was there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. If they were going to fake it, they just fake the first one and leave it.
They would
leave it at that. Yeah.
How do you know when you're done with those?
It just kind of wears out.
Yeah.
You just don't touch the person and.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they go off, like, it's like how you know when fireworks are done. You light one of those flowers, it's such a slow down, but there's always a little pop at the end, there's a little pop after you think it's over.
It's funny, those women, I've talked to a number of those in the past, and they think that women that don't have orgasms are lying. They can't imagine how that would work, because they're so responsive that way. It's like, what? They're lying. That's ridiculous. What are they talking about? They're manipulating.
They're unfortunate.
They're unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
But those are the blessed ones.
But Oliver, so what's your deal?
Well, I thought I did this weekend.
Well, it says here you had a threesome with two girls?
Yeah.
No. Too squirrely. First off, nobody named Oliver gets a threesome at 15 years old. No, no one named Oliver. Maybe Oliver Stone or Oliver Twist.
Dude, Oliver's a tight name.
Yeah, it's tight. I don't know. It's not the kind of name that gets a guy laid. Not at 15. Not in a threesome. You did not have a threesome.
Well, it was oral.
All right, well, that's not a threesome.
Oh, oral threesome?
Yeah.
I might count that.
No, it's just, that's a, like, follow-on.
Well, what'd you guys, they doubled down on you?
I bet they weren't there at the same time, though.
No, yeah, they were.
They were in the same room?
Yeah.
And they did that pass it back and forth thing?
Well, it was like at the same time, and then they were like switching.
Hey, you know what's good about that thing is women are very competitive.
That thing.
This happened to me one time.
Oh, I remember you. This girl called in one time. Remember that?
Yeah.
Ebony?
Ebony and Ivory.
Oh my God.
Black chick and a... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Were they prostitutes?
Would you believe me if I said no?
No.
Well, I didn't pay him anything.
Okay.
I dropped one of them off at church, and then went off at her boyfriend's house the next
Good.
Day. Right. They were trouble. Yeah, they stupid. And these are back in my civilian days, you know? But you know what they do is they compete with each other. You know what I mean? It's like the free market system. It's capitalism. It brings out the best in everybody.
Like who's going to get it?
Yeah, it's like how good would Ford be if Chevy wasn't around? But now there's a little competition going on. One's Ford, one's Chevy. They're trying to outdo each other a little bit. And I'll tell you who wins. You know who wins? Your consumer. You know who the consumer is?
You.
Your dork. That's who the consumer is. Oliver, am I right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, 15-year-old.
All right.
Fantastic.
It's all downhill from here, Oliver.
Yep.
Really?
You peaked early, homie.
Yeah, I know. You're doing the math. You're like, well, if I'm 15, I got two chicks blow me. By the time I'm 17 and a half, I got four chicks. At 20, I'll have eight chicks. I'm 16 at 25. I'm 158 by my 30th birthday. Now, it's all downhill, buddy.
Damn.
Enjoy it, though.
Okay.
And put it in the memory bank.
I will.
You're going to be wanting to use that later.
All right.
I may even use it myself.
It is possible, though, right?
To have what?
No, it is not possible for a male.
You didn't do that, did you?
You had a refractory period. You had a period where you couldn't do it. It was short, but you had that.
Oh, okay.
A multi-orgasmic will be one right after the other every few seconds.
Well, did you have that?
No.
No, I had it like 5 minutes in between.
Yeah. All right. No, that's it. All right, buddy. What are you going to complain now?
No.
All right.
Good times.
Okay. I think we have an Everlast question, but I think we should take a break because it's about that time. Here. Got the screen here. Well, Everlast is here. He's doing the smoke out on Saturday. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a question for him after this.
You know it's time.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Everlast is in the studio tonight, and he can be found at the Smokeout coming up this Saturday. Edema, Snoop Dogg, Tommy Chong's going to be there. Who else is going to be there?
SX10, Taproot, Redman, Snoop Dogg. I don't know if it's Cypress Hill.
Yep.
The Doors cover group.
Smokeout.
Yep. Yeah, no.
The Iron Maidens, which is like, I believe it's an all-female Iron Maiden cover band.
Wow. I was saying to, I think we're talking to Everlast about, not Everlast, but...
Be Real.
Be Real about this, which is, I'm fine with the tribute bands.
Yeah,
I'll go
fine.
See a tribute band.
Sure.
I got no problem with that.
Hey, what is Be Real's real name? I just realized I've never... Does he have a real name?
His government? You want his government? I don't know if I should be giving his government.
It's Oliver. It's Oliver now. It's got to be Oliver.
Lucius Fagan Bob.
Yeah, that was really close.
Lucius?
Louis. His first name.
Yeah, he looks like a Louis.
Yeah, it's all right name.
I'll keep his last name off the record.
You know, it was funny. I was sitting in my office today, and somebody said to me, like, you got Snoop Dogg on, you got Everlast on, you got Be Real on, like, what do you call those guys? B or Snoop or Ever or whatever. And I just call them Everlast, Be Real, and Snoop Dogg. Like, whatever they want to be called, whatever their title is, that's what they get called.
Yep.
But that's how it's supposed to work, right?
Sure, man. You could call me, you know, whatever.
Ever?
You can call me Elvis.
But does anyone call you Ever?
No.
Is it Ever?
Yeah, E, or if they know me, if they're my friends, they call me by my first name.
And we're not going to find
Oliver.
Eric.
Oh, Eric, that's right. Yeah. We knew that at some point. All right, next week, by the way, the Used, Sum 41, and System of a Down are going to be in here. So
Sum 41, they got a really funny new video out, man.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Where they're like changing their name to the Sums because of the Strokes. And all. It's really funny. Those guys are funny.
Those guys are screwballs because, you know, they sent us a video to the Man Show, like in season two, when they weren't any, man, no one knew Sum 41 3 years ago. And they had this like crazy kooky video that they sent us that they wanted us to look at and stuff. And they're like kids who are like just out sort of freeballing it with a mini cam and stuff.
Wow.
They're funny guys, man.
Yeah. All right, so we'll talk to them next Monday. Miriam?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, first off, happy Ramadan, Everlast.
Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask you, does it feel different as a solo artist as opposed to when you used to be back in the House of Pain?
Yeah, I don't have to split the checks. And, it's a totally different thing. It's just, you know, just a complete expression of yourself. And, you know, there's nobody else to blame or, you know, for every bit of credit you get to take all the blame, too. So it's cool. It's a good feeling. I mean, I like working in a group situation, too. Like, working with my band live feels like a group, you know. So, you know, you got to have that. Music is a communal sport, mm-hmm. you know, so to speak.
Yeah. Also, when are you coming back to Urbana, Illinois?
I don't know. When I finish a record and I go out there and grind that. See, I came home and stayed home for like 6 months, and that turned into a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I haven't really spent any time at home for like the last 10 years, but like maybe a 2 months out of a year. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing, I mean, is it hard to work if you got enough money in the bank and you have nothing on the calendar? Is it hard to put something on the calendar?
It isn't until you stop. That's like what I felt like I stopped and I said, I'm actually going to take a conscious choice and stop. You know, when you're going, it's time flies and it's just like you're just into the next thing.
Right.
But when you stop, I think that happens a little bit. You start to be like, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? And it gets a little harder to get back into that
pace
of living. You know?
This has happened to me a time or two where it feels normal. Like you get up at, you know, 11 in the morning, watch a little TV, go take in a matinee, eat for a while, talk on the phone. Next thing you know, it's the evening, and it's like, yeah, this seems right.
When have you ever lived like that?
Well, there's been times when, Man Show was shut down, or Love Line was shut down, or it was like a few months in there, and all I was doing was this at night.
Right.
And the whole day would go by, and I would feel like I was busy the whole day. I wasn't doing anything, but it felt like, yeah, this seems about normal.
No wonder you ride my ass if I was tired when I got in here at night.
That's working all
day, and then you assume I was living the same life you did, wouldn't believe me when I said I'd been working.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. The funny thing is, I'm not the most ambitious person. You know, I like to work. So when I'm at that speed and I'm working all the time, it doesn't feel like I'm working. But like I'm saying, when you stop and then you try to jump back into that,
right,
it gets like to be like, oh wow, I was working pretty hard and didn't even realize it. Like you probably don't realize right now how much you do.
Yeah.
Neither does anyone else.
No one else does for sure. But believe me, Adam lets us know about it all the time.
No, listen. Tomorrow the alarm's going to go off at what time, Drew? 6:30.
Oh, 6.
Six? Yeah. I'm getting up at 6:30. We're going to Vegas.
Are we going in the same car? Different cars.
You got a car picking you up?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Nah, I'm just driving myself. Yeah. All right. So I'll see you there. Good times. All right. Miriam.
Yeah. Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
Everlast, you made our day when you let us go backstage when you came to Planet Fest. You probably don't remember, but I now work for the radio station that actually sponsored that, and I'm making sure your songs get on all the time.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Is it one of our affiliates?
What?
Was it a Loveline affiliate?
Yeah, we are.
When did you give the call letters?
WPGU-FM.
Okay. Good
there
times.
You go. Go get a raise now.
Yep.
All right, baby. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's talk. Wait a minute. That's Urbana.
We have a Champaign Urbana station.
Oh, yeah. She's not. It's not Chicago.
Yeah.
Robert.
Yes.
You're 40? Oh, 48. 48. What's up?
Well, but the 1985, 86, I had the doctor thought I had cancer in my left testicle, and they removed it, but it was benign.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of separated, and I'm getting back into the dating scene, and I'm thinking about going back to the doctor. He offered at the time that they took it out to put a prosthetic in.
Yeah.
And I just want to know what are the complications and any side effects.
Why did you say no then?
Well, I was married. I mean, you know, I had one partner. It didn't matter.
And why is it an issue now? The very meaning of the word cosmetic is such that it almost can't apply to testicle. The cosmetic, testicle, those two words don't go together.
If a girl is going down on you with her hand and trying to, feel around, and, you feel kind of shy, you don't want the issue to come up. Why do you only have one? What's up with this?
I had cancer. I had a tumor. They removed it. What's the big deal?
I could feel
this guy where he's coming from. He's saving himself. He doesn't want to have to break it down every time. I had this whole ordeal that, I had to live through in my life.
He's not 18, though. He's 48.
Yeah, but let me explain.
He might be a little inside. I'm 33, and I can hear exactly where he's coming from. If I was waiting, I dread the moment. She's going to see I got one ball. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It would be an uncomfortable thing.
What if he had no balls? She'd be like, whoa, good times.
No. Good times. Here's what happens. Here's how it works. You're getting intimate. You meet this new chick. You finally feel like you're closing the deal. She's feeling around. All of a sudden, there stops. Like, what's up? And you're like, I lost a testicle to cancer about 10 years ago. And she's like, I lost a son to cancer, too. And then she breaks down and starts crying. Next thing you know, you guys are sitting up drinking herbal tea in the kitchen. You got nothing. You don't want to shift the focus.
You
want
to break the stride. But I'd love to hear from some women about this. Women just tolerate testes.
But
guys,
listen,
right?
Women do not like. Would you shut up, Drew? You know nothing. Shut Drew's mic. He's driving me nuts today. Women do not like the look of a testy, but they also don't like the look of something that is atypical or missing or grotesque or something like that.
It's grotesque testicle.
Well, what I'm saying is the only thing worse than a healthy sack is a sack that's been damaged.
I'm saying it's like this. You know, it's about he's about to get the prize. You know, yeah. She's gonna go down there and
he doesn't want to break a stride.
Yeah,
and it's like cancer, and the topic is just not a sexy thing. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, Robert. Get your prosthesis. No big deal.
How do they? Hey, what do they do? Hey, put a cold.
Yo.
Are you a bro?
Am I a what?
No.
You're not a white dude, are you?
Yeah, I am, dude.
You are?
You seen any videos?
He's 48, dude. He probably don't watch NTV.
All right. But you haven't heard me call him dog yet, have you? He can't be black. I would have worked that in at some point.
Biatch.
Yeah.
Well,
I would think that if he was black, he should be called Everlong.
Yeah, so he's Everlast.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Robert, you get that... prosthetic.
So what's the verdict? Do I get it?
Yeah, get it. I'm out number 2-1.
Go get it.
So what's no side effects? I mean, you know.
No.
You waited a little while. I imagine it was much, much easier surgically before the scarring and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see if they can't actually pull it off.
Man, but by the way, surgically, my thing is it's all the same. It's just like when you got your car at the shop when the guy says, well, you know, as long as I got up on the rack and I got the discs off, you want me to repack the bearings? It's going to be a lot easier now. It's like, just do it. As long as you got the sack open, put the fake one in. Should have done it 10 years ago.
Good
time. I guess they do it out of glass, right, Drew?
Acrylic glass.
Yeah. Everlast is in our studio tonight. We will take ourselves a quick break.
They have silicone ones now, too.
You know, Anderson yells at me for breaking late at this break every night.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Is in the studio tonight. It's going to be at the Smokeout this Saturday, along with Be Real, Cypress Hill, and Snoop Dogg, and Edema, and everybody. I'll tell you who else is going to be there. I mean, Everlast knows some of the people. Circle Jerks are going to be there. The Used is going to be there. Cottonmouth Kings.
There you go.
Finch, Third Strike. Bunch of real good bands are going to be there, and this is just the Who's Who band. There's going to be like another 30 bands, according to Be Real. So again, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. at the Coliseum. All right, let's talk to Jordan, who's 17. Jordan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, all right. I have a girlfriend who I've only been going out with for about a month, and she's really great looking. She's got a great body and everything, and we'll be making out, and she really gets really bothered if like I'm, you know, feeling her and all of a sudden like I just barely tried to touch her stomach, she gets all insecure and she's, I guess it's like your earlier caller with the elbow things, but except she thinks she's chubby, but she's not. She's really skinny. She's got like a great body, and I've tried to tell her this, but she just doesn't seem to get it. Is there any way?
Well, that's either an eating disorder or purely a body dysmorphic disorder. She looks in the mirror and she sees a fat person.
It could just be sort of 16-year-old chick. 2002, living in our society disorder, too.
It could be, but it still would be a dysmorphic disorder of some type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes people have sensitive in certain spots. I mean, too, like they don't like to put your finger in their belly button or something like that.
They wouldn't say it's because I'm fat.
True.
Gotcha. And I have another quick question. I guess this is sort of off topic and a weird question to ask on K-Rock, but I'm a huge classic rock fan, and I get depressed when I look at today's music. Do you think we'll ever see a band like Zeppelin or anything like that again? Because I just...
Well, Jordan never saw it in the first place. He's 17.
Well, no.
He's never broken up for 10 years.
I have a lot of music, and I listen to that and Floyd and Hendrix and The Who, and I'm huge fans of all that. And, you know, It's kind of sad when I see bands that just don't have any talent compared to, you know, the bands of 30 years ago.
Aren't there going
to
be some great cover bands on Saturday?
Yeah. You go see Dread Zeppelin and Wild Child and the Iron Maidens over at the Coliseum Saturday. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, music changes. It moves forward. It evolves. And, you know, it's like saying, well... where's Elvis? Where are the Beatles? Where's Zeppelin? It's like, well, one of them's 20 years old, and one of them's 30 years old, and one of them's 40 years old. And then you just keep going. Like, where's the big bands?
Well, I mean, it just seems to me like you know, music's not moving into any, you know, great revolutionary territory.
Whatever.
Are you, all I can really say to this guy is, like, if you really feel like that, I mean, I can understand, like, how the atmosphere of the business of music can make the people feel like that. And what you got to do is go out wherever you live and support live music. I mean, like, you know, you just got to do it. You know, if you want to see a great band, you got to go and support bands until you find that great band. You might be the guy who finds the next great band if that's how you feel. You know what I'm saying? But go out and support live music.
Are you a musician, Jordan?
I'm working on guitar. So if you see my name in 6 years, I'm going to be the next big Van Halen. So there you go.
You're going to be the next Van Halen?
Yeah.
Which version?
Yeah, the cover band.
No, the 70s one.
All right.
Yeah, Van Halen played at my high school, one of the high school proms I was at.
Oh, wow.
And
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because Drew's from Pasadena. I guess Van Halen's Locking from that area. Yeah. And they played at your prom, and no one cared, right?
Oh, it was like, not that they cared. They weren't good. and certainly people were then lamenting, where's the Hendrix, where's the Doors? Believe me. Trust me.
It's always going to be.
That was.
I think there's lots of great music out too. You just got to go find it.
It's like lamenting, you know, where's the Jimmy Cagney's and where's the classic, you know, and then all of a sudden you get a new crop of quality actors or quality films.
I think it does this, like, where you're like, well, you know, Brad Pitt is no James Dean, and then 20 years from now they'll be going, Bob Schmeckelman is no Brad Pitt,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just sort of the cyclical nature of society. And it's certainly this way with music, and they do it with the athletes and stuff, too. Like, these guys, Bob Cousy was the greatest ball-handling guard that ever graced the NBA court. You know, they do this with, you know, Bart Starr or whoever back in the day. It's like, oh, no one was better than this guy. I think you can make an argument that Michael Vick is probably better, probably a little better than Bart Starr may have been. But all right. But there's nothing. Hey, I like a 17-year-old who lives in the past. It's kind of refreshing.
That's interesting.
Diane?
Hello?
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, I always listen to you guys, and you always say how we need to go to therapy and people need to talk about their problems. Well, I was really depressed, have been, and I actually had a suicidal incident in the past. And so I go to therapy, and I just feel like my therapist, I don't know, she makes it feel like I'm there for no reason. Like, she just stares at me and doesn't say anything. Makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Well,
I mean,
all the whole purpose of what she's doing is to evoke these feelings in you. You're supposed to examine how you feel in the presence of this person. And about that person. You may hate them, you may love them, you may have all kinds of crazy, crazy feelings. That's the whole purpose that you're there for.
But I end up not saying anything. Like, she just sits, she doesn't say anything. She, like, files papers and, like, cuts up an apple and doesn't say anything to me. And end up, like, talking about my week. And she goes, well, this isn't very interesting. And I go, what do you want me to say? I tell her, I go, you make me feel
files? She files papers?
Yeah, and she's, writing notes and...
I just think, like, you know, a doctor of that nature is also something you might have to find one, two, three. You know, you got to find the right one that...
It's
appeals
possible.
To you
that
and makes
possible.
You want to, you know,
open up.
Yeah, exactly. Because that kind of thing is just useless if you're not just laying it out on the table.
But you only get out what you put in. And if you sit there and say, I can't tell this person because I don't like the way she's reacting.
Well, it's not even that I don't feel like. I mean, I feel like I probably have plenty of things to talk about. But when I'm in there, I draw a blank. And if she just said, so tell me about this, I feel like I could just talk forever.
Well, then you need to, exactly what you're telling us, you need to go in there and tell her precisely this. You've got to force yourself to, and you've got to examine what the barriers are to help keep you from being honest like this.
Mm-hmm.
And see how you feel when you do lay it out on the table, because you're going to have all kinds of funny feelings.
I think another way for people to get some help out of a situation like that is to remember, In a weird way, you got to remember that this person's working for you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
This person is your time.
You're not in there in front of this almighty, judgmental, like, kind of like person that you know, knows so much more than you. This person is there to work for you. It's just like somebody coming to build your house or remodel your bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay on top of them and be like, yo, this is what I want out of this job.
Here's how I feel. Boom. And now you're in.
So, I mean, I kind of feel like maybe I should call it quits with her.
No, Diane.
No?
You have said this?
Yeah, I said that. I said, well, what do you want? What should I talk about? What should I, you know?
No. You go in and tell her exactly what you said to us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're not listening to me. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like I maybe should change. And you go get into all that with her right up front. All right?
Uh-huh. Wait, how'd you get hooked up with this person?
Insurance.
Yeah, of course.
It seems. See, I'm not convinced that, you know, it's like.
It may be the wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not the wrong person, but at first you give it that try. You go in there and you be completely honest.
You can get some mileage out of the wrong person, too.
That's right.
But, hey, Diane, why don't you do this, too? You say you got all this stuff you want to talk about during the week, and then you draw a blank when you go in there.
Uh-huh.
Which is sort of ridiculous because
that's defense.
That's kind of your fault. But right. What you need to do is once you get a little notepad, then. Make yourself a note during the week of stuff you want to talk about, and then go in there and pull it out like a shopping list.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that, are you?
No, I mean that makes sense.
All right. Well, if you're interested, I mean, here's the deal.
Because I want to work on stuff.
If you're truly interested in working on stuff instead of interested in working on reasons why you can't work on stuff, then make a little note and make a little laundry list.
Well, I'll tell you, an efficient way into the material is write exactly what you said to us.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that. And if you can't do that, then get your laundry list.
All right, but hold on. I don't want to argue with Drew, but actually, I like to argue with Drew.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say. I'm putting you on hold. Diane's a little defensive.
Diane
starts off with, you guys tell everyone to go to the shrink.
Yeah.
Well, I go to the shrink and nothing happens because she just sits there twiddling her thumbs and filing papers and ignoring me.
And 5 minutes later, you say, hey, make a list up. And it's like, yeah.
All right. Here's what I'm saying. I don't think she should go in and do the confrontation thing. Like, why aren't you listening to me? I don't think we're the right match. So on and so forth.
Okay.
I think if her argument.
You're going to have a fight in a second.
No. If her argument is. I got nothing to say, but I got a bunch of stuff to say during the week, then write it down and just say that stuff. And I know she'll find fault in that, too. Is that what you're going to say?
No, what I'm going to say is this is consistent with your perception of what therapy is about. The way into therapy is to get into the experience, and her experience is, I'm having these feelings about you, you're not listening, and boom, now you're into therapy. If she's bringing a list about, well, Susie didn't talk to me, blah, blah, that's nothing. That's a litany of nonsense. That's you talking about the sports stores and not talking about your masturbation.
How dare you?
Not talking to your jacket off.
How dare you humiliate me in front of Everlast who looks up to me like a god. You hold your ears, Everlast. This is going to break your heart. No. I agree with that to a certain extent, but I think the way she ends up confronting her ends up with the shrink just telling her to go pack it.
If the shrink is not skillful, yes, that could happen.
Yes. All right. Well, anyway.
She might be better off.
Diane?
Hello?
Yeah.
You know what? I think Drew's right, though, because when I've done that, when I've gone in and I've said, oh, well, at work I did this and this guy did that, and she goes, yep, oh, that's nothing, whatever. When are we going to get to it?
Right, it's not a experience.
Well, Diane is agreeing with you, so who's right?
All right, Diane, do what you got to do.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay.
All right. Yeah. And drop the attitude.
And don't listen to Adam.
All right.
Listen to Everlast.
Oh, look. You go to the shrink. It's like going to the shrink's like going to the gym. You want to go to the gym and sit down and crack a magazine, have a bottle of Avion, and sit there for an hour and then go home and complain why you don't get any results? It's the same thing. You got to break a sweat. But here's the thing I want to be clear about with this show, too, is we're careful, I think, of. I don't want to tell everyone to go to the shrink because you got 17-year-olds who don't have a penny, they don't have insurance. And I don't want to say that the end of each call ends up with go to the shrink. But when we talk to people whose dad sexually abused them for 4 years, from age 3 to age 7, and now they're 19 and they're having difficulties, that's going to take a shrink. I mean, that's going to take a group. That's going to take some work.
And that is a lot of our callers.
True.
And those kinds of traumas can barely be treated in today's mental health techniques. It's something that's hard to treat. Maybe can't be treated in some situations. I mean, that's how high up the scale of seriousness these things are.
So maybe they shouldn't go to a shrink
treated. I'm just saying these are, you know, no way things are going to get better if they don't.
All right. I just want to make sure it's clear to people listening to the show that if some 17-year-old calls up and says I beat off 3 times a day, I don't say go to the shrink.
Right.
3 sounds fine, actually. It's no problem. David?
Hi.
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a question. I've been dating this woman for probably about 12 months, and it seemed like the only time she really tells me she loved me is during sex. So I was wondering, is it a possibility that this woman just loved me for sex, or could there be more?
How many months? Three?
A year,
12 months.
12 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's with you. She says she loves you when you're on top of her.
Is there something else going on here?
She also just kind of finished going through a divorce.
How long ago?
Probably over a month ago.
So during this relationship.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Well, she's a little hesitant to maybe tell you she loves you when she's, like, in the middle of finishing things off with the ex and everything.
Well, the thing is that she'd been separated from him for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was just finalized a month ago.
Mm-hmm. All right. And do you think, how old is she?
She's 38.
38. She have kids?
She got two kids, but they're older.
How old?
The youngest is 17.
Well, it's not that old. Well, there's still a lot of active parenting needs there. You know?
Yeah, but not like a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old.
No.
Okay. So what if you, have you ever confronted her about this?
No, I haven't really.
And do you guys see each other all the time? Do you live together?
We don't. We spend a lot of time together, and when we do spend time together, we have a wonderful time. It's great whenever I spend time together, but it always seems like I have to make the initiative as far as calling her and want to spend time with her. But
all right, well, that's a different issue than the I love you in bed thing. It's the relationship doesn't feel as intimate as you'd like it to be. Doesn't feel as close.
I think what David is saying is she seems sort of half in this thing.
Yeah, but then she says, I love you when they're sleeping together. And he's thinking, really? Not the way you behave the rest of the time. You feel it in the intimate, these physical moments.
So, David, if you didn't call her for a week, what would happen?
She would call me, but her idea is that she will think that I'm fooling around. That's why I wouldn't call her. So one of the reasons why I do call her from time to time is just to let her have an idea that I'm still thinking of her. But if I didn't call her for about 3 or 4 days, then she'll call me and she'll be jealous and she'll think I'm fooling around with somebody else, which I'm not.
Yeah. Hey, David. You're 30. She's 38. Just got out of a sort of messy relationship. Got a couple kids. Seems sort of half into you. Maybe you should set your sights on a nice 26-year-old who's free and clear.
That's true, but I want to tell you, we do have a lot of good times when I do spend with her, and I like that.
All right. Well, I think you guys have been together long enough, and her divorce is final, and she's been separated long enough. I think you can start asking her some stuff, like, are you in this or are you not?
Right. No more games. Hey, are we here or not?
And look, tell her no pressure, but you got to know.
Sure.
And you want to live with her and that kind of thing?
Well, I wouldn't mind because, you know, apart from other things, we do have a lot of fun together when we do hang out.
All right. Well, why don't you tell her you want to progress this thing along? But listen, if she doesn't want to do it, be prepared to move on.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
It's tough, though. How do you move on? You know, how do you...
Start talking about moving in together and that kind of stuff.
You mean move...
Yeah, but if she's not interested...
You mean how do you get away?
How do you just focus yourself to forget about her and just move on? Because it's not easy at all. Now, do you...
Yeah.
Other girls, you know...
Well, here's
yes,
how...
You date other girls.
You date other girls, but here's what you do. What do? Drive a cab?
No, I drive a Mercedes.
Oh, really? But yeah. There's people back from out of town?
No, they're not.
You're wrong.
No, what? Well, what do you do for a living?
What I do for a living, I do marketing.
You do marketing. Yeah. You do okay for yourself?
Yeah, pretty okay.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think as a guy, we haven't talked about this in a little while, but the best way to move on for a guy, because it's tough, is to sort of start getting into your career, start getting into your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you start working out a little more. You start focusing on work a little more.
In your 30s, though, the work and all that can take over. And you have to make the dating part of your career, too.
All right, yeah, and you definitely start seeing other people.
Yeah.
But if you got a lot of free time, like, if you got free time on your hands and you're trying to break up with somebody, it ain't going to work.
No, that's bad times.
The best way is just be busy, especially, like, if you're going out on the road, you got business, you're traveling, you know, phone's ringing, people are tugging on you, you'll be able to do it. If you're just hanging out, staring at the clock, you'll definitely be picking up the phone again. All right. I think he may be moving on here. Brian?
Yep.
You're 25? Good.
Okay, I got a question for you.
All right.
I've been in this for about a month now. And weeks ago, we had our sex talk. And she tells me she has HPV,
mm-hmm.
which is a human papillomavirus, is that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. warts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm doing some research on it, and there's nothing real conclusive other than I know that it's highly contagious, and if I continue to... I started sleeping with her about 2 weeks ago.
With a condom or without?
With.
Right, so...
Right.
So I'm really wondering how much at risk here am I if we're both very conscious of what's going on, and she's always looking out there to make sure there's nothing, you know, developing.
Like having the wart or not does not determine her contagiousness.
Really?
She is contagious without the warts. She's more contagious. There's more virus produced when there are warts present, but she's producing virus no matter what. The condom gives you a reasonable degree of protection against that. One out of three women you date will have the wart virus. It's so extraordinarily common. So if you limit yourself just to those people that don't have the wart virus, it's gonna be you're going to be really restricting the people.
Well, are they all in one place? Because, like, non-wart city or something? Because I'd like to go there.
They're in every metropolitan area.
Yeah, but the no-wart people, that's what I'm saying.
Do most of these people know this, though?
Most women do not know they have it.
That's where you're seeing. I mean, it's because that's a hard thing to swallow when you say one out of three, and then you're like...
One out of three.
But they don't, like, a lot of them just don't know.
Don't know. That's why you wear the condom.
You know, I always picture you with warts every time you try to tell me how many people have warts in this society. Oh, it makes me know you got those warts. That's what I, this is exactly what the man with warts would say.
Or the person that sees all the people with the warts.
Oh, really? You're still dating around? You're still dating. I didn't know that.
I see
that you and the lady were. Oh, you're dating guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, wait till Susan hears about this. So wait a second. Hold on, but you can go down on a woman who's got warts and there's no problem, right?
Right.
What a cruel joke God has played on us. The penis gets it, but the mouth is immune to it?
It's not immune to it, but you're not likely to get it, no.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my next question, is that she has been going down on me, and I enjoy oral sex, to be honest with you.
Well, she can't give it to you from your mouth, from her mouth, rather.
Now, you won't get it from her mouth.
Right, what about my mouth?
Down there, you're probably not going to get that either.
He won't get it there. I don't know why. Why not? It's just not fertile soil.
It doesn't penetrate. Yeah.
What's wrong with the penis?
Penetrates.
What's different? Skin's different.
Skin's different.
I got to work on that. I got to work on a graft.
Mm-hmm.
Put the mouse skin
saliva
on the penis.
Saliva, man, is a killer.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
All right.
One more question. What about canker sores? Does that have anything to do with? HPV, is that...
No.
More? No.
Brian, you're 25 years old.
Yeah, I didn't know this stuff when I was 25.
Really?
No.
You know, I'm pretty knowledgeable. I do some research. Canker sores are kind of one of those...
Well, canker sores are basically herpes viruses. You want to get herpes in your genitalia, you have oral sex when you have canker sores. All right?
What else you got cooking down there? Crabs, AIDS, hepatitis C?
I think everything else is okay. And I really...
Chancroid?
Nothing. Shingles.
Man, y'all are making me want to go home and lock myself in the house, man.
Lymphogranuloma venereum.
I tell you, my buddy had sex with a chick. He got crabs. Let's see, what did he get? He got like gonorrhea, crabs, and...
syphilis.
And like syphilis. One chick, one time. Like the hat trick.
Well, no, it turns out when you get one, you're more likely to get more than one. They're very much more likely to get multiples when you get one.
Well, but it's not you, it's them.
I know.
The traveling packs.
It just tends to...
Yeah, well, people who get around, and people who don't who do not practice proper protection get around, mm-hmm. and so there's a chance that one person is going to have two things rather than just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or my poor buddy's case, three things.
Then the HIV risk starts going up the more...
I put together a theory where some of the crabs actually had the...
HIV?
Can a crab get HIV?
No.
But what about this, Drew? Crabs suck your blood, right? They're leeches. They live off your blood.
I think they...
They're not drinking pee.
They might live off your old skin or something, or your hair. They don't
burrow in? They're not like mosquitoes?
No, we're not like ticks or anything, no.
They're living off the hair? No.
It's lice.
It's lice.
Well, lice can dig in a little bit. Yeah.
Lice are blood suckers, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
So if a crab sucks your HIV blood and then hops onto your partner.
No, no. The gut in insects is extremely inhospitable. I mean, it's a very specialized environment. I mean, there's certain phases of the life cycle of malaria that need the mosquito gut in order to develop. I mean, things don't survive in these blood-sucking insects.
Well, what about if there's a little bit on its beak?
No, again, HIV is a virus you can't even really transmit on a needle tip.
Beak? What a crab on its claw.
A beak.
On its lobster tail. What do you mean you can't transfer HIV on a needle?
It turns out it looks like that for HIV to really be transmitted, it's when they draw the blood back up into the syringe before they inject it that they get the virus.
So it's not even just the tip of the needle?
So it's from the residue inside the thing.
Right. Or, so when the junkies get it, it's not the needle.
So much.
Man, y'all are scaring the hell out of me, right?
Lock your door, Everlast.
Everlast's going to go wash his hands.
All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew Everlast is our guest tonight. Everlast is going to be out at the Smokeout coming up this Saturday.
Yes, yes, y'all.
And that is 3 o'clock. And it's going until 2 a.m., and it is at the Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles. And everybody's going to be there.
That's
and
big.
It's good because they don't have to. Usually the Smokeout is DeVore. Is that where it is, Drew?
Yep.
It's 70 miles out of town. It's 117 degrees, and everyone's cramping in the outhouse.
This is where the Olympics are, man.
That's right. This is the glorious Coliseum. All right.
Where the Raiders used to play.
Everyone used to play there. How come we don't have a football team, by the way?
Yeah, how come Houston kicks out a football team and gets a new one before we get one?
We don't have a stadium. That's our
we
problem.
We have the Coliseum.
They're getting close to putting in the Rose Bowl.
Okay, but let me ask this. Here's the thing I can't understand. First off, someone put $50 million into the Coliseum 6-7 years ago.
For the Olympics?
For the Raiders. Yeah. Just they did like a renovation on the Coliseum. It must have been 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, and they put millions and millions of dollars into
There's been a lot of talk about this, a lot of chatter about it in the Pasadena newspapers, because Pasadena is on deck to get this team. Huh. And they're saying they're going to take the Rose Bowl, leave the shell, completely redo the thing. The way the teams, to make money, these teams require, they have a formula to what they need in the stadiums.
Here's what I'm
they
not.
They need them luxury
boxes. I don't
luxury
boxes, understand less seats. The luxury box. I mean, I understand it, but I don't, how did we get along for 75 years without a luxury box?
And Rose Bowl's got them already, enough.
It's corporate America, man. That's the corporate America.
I know, but these teams are all like, we can't make money without a luxury box. Well, the luxury box is 8 years old.
Right.
I mean, it's not been around. No one was talking about luxury boxes 10 years ago, were they?
But then again, maybe they have to meet the payrolls now that are different.
Yeah. I just think, to be perfectly honest, I also think that's the spot where a lot of other things are going on as far as, like, business and wheeling and dealing and, power plays are getting made up in them boxes. Well, don't act like it.
The whole idea that's like economically feasible to have a football team without a luxury box seems weird to me. But yeah, maybe you're right, because you paid Joe Namath $37,000 a year, to play football 25
years
ago.
Plus, you got what, 12, maybe 14 seats in one of them luxury boxes, and they're getting like $200,000 a year. That's beginning, starting. $200,000 a year. Yeah. That would have been like maybe if you add in their little space, maybe 20 seats they would have milked out of that for $100 a piece there, where in that range.
Yep, I guess.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess it's
real estate.
That is the math, Joe.
Hey.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Not much. Me and my buddies wanted to know if someone said that if you drink a cup of vinegar, it'd help you pass your drug test.
No, but it will change your urine pH to such a degree that you will consider it a positive test.
Oh, really?
So there you go. If you start monkeying with your urine, the people who are doing the testing will know it.
Oh, really?
Hey, and that's how you determine positive.
I saw a thing, a very interesting thing on your former network of television choice, MTV. They did this thing and, like, had these kids going and do drug tests, two clean kids, got clean drug tests, went and did another drug test after eating the actual poppy seed bagel.
Yeah.
And the one who ate the bagel tested positive for heroin.
It's two poppy seed bagels or one poppy seed muffin will make you test positive.
Muffin, is that what it was? Yeah, they had a muffin.
Oh, more in the muffin than the bagel, muffin, huh?
It test positive for opiates.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
But that's how sensitive these tests are.
Yeah.
But they're instructed not to do that before they get there.
But, you know, drink it anyways. It'll be funny.
All right, let's talk. I got to talk about cuisine in this town again.
Oh, my God.
I know, but you know my complaint.
Did Everlast inspired you? What's going on here?
I was just talking about the poppy seed bagels and the muffins and stuff, and I've been thinking a lot that this town is bad for food because we outsmart ourselves. Like, I can't get coleslaw anywhere because right. It's considered too pedestrian.
You can't get a plain bagel.
Yeah, like, I can't. There's certain stuff you can't get in this town. If you go to a decent restaurant, yeah. You go out to lunch, you go to a decent place, you're like, yeah, give me a sandwich and give me some coleslaw on the side. And they're like, no. we don't carry coleslaw. It's like, oh, all right, well, give me a side of barbecue sauce. No, we don't have that. We have a chutney.
We have a Dijon mustard chutney.
Yeah. Where are you eating, man?
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem is I go out to lunch with guys who want to go to a nice place because it's like, hey, we're like business guys. We got some talking to do. So mm-hmm. We end up going to these places where, ironically, they're expensive. And then you can't get good stuff. And I went out 2 days ago, and they're like, our special is we got corn chowder. And I'm like, oh, I love corn chowder. Sign me up for corn chowder.
With fennel.
And she's right. And the guy's like, we make our corn chowder with no dairy, no cream, no butter, nothing like that. And
I'm
like,
the chowder.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, okay, that sounds like corn to me now. I'm missing the chowder part. But I'm like, I still love corn chowder. And hey, if you can do it without making it fattening, go ahead, knock yourself out. Yeah. So then the bowl of corn chowder shows up. And guess what? It's just like broth with corn floating in it. And I'm like, yeah, I understand why this ain't fattening. It sucks. It's got no cream, it's got no butter, it's got no dairy, it's got nothing. But this ain't chowder. This is my thing with food. When you call something something, it's got to be that something.
Yes.
You're going to call something corn. Call it corn soup. Call it our special corn soup. Call whatever you want. But you can't call it corn chowder
nope. And
not have it be chowder. Thank you.
There's a lot of that going on in this town, too, right?
Yes. It's like, yeah, I'll have the huevos rancheros and then scrambled eggs that's rolled up in a burrito form shows up, and you're like, hey, man, I ordered huevos rancheros. Like, this is how we do it. It's like, okay, wait, you got to tell me.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
They order a hamburger, and they serve you a corn dog because that's how you do hamburger?
Yeah, we do ours round, and then we bread it in corn, and we deep fry it. It's like, yeah, that's how you do it. When I'm picturing my mind, that's what it's got to be. Yeah. Huevos Ranchero shows up like a burrito. I can't stand this town anymore, Drew. We got to move.
That was Las Vegas, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. You've heard this before?
Yeah. Shocking, isn't it?
Tanel?
Hi.
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
Yes, I am. I'm thinking about donating my eggs, and my husband is just totally against it, and he thinks that it's going to prolong me from not being able to have any kids in the future.
There is that possibility.
Yeah.
Really?
How come no one calls it selling the eggs?
It's,
well, everyone's like, I'm thinking about donating. I'm thinking about donating. I'm thinking, like, if you're selling your car, do you say, I'm thinking about donating my car?
We call it car donation.
Car donation means
harvesting.
You put your car in the paper and some guy buys it for $5,000. That's donating your car?
Oh,
no, you're selling your eggs.
Right.
What are the side effects that you can...
Well, you can end up with... there are rare things. Because it hasn't been done that long, they really don't truly know all the long-term effects.
Yeah,
but there's concern about ovarian cancer, ovarian failure. There's these concerns out there. You can infarct your ovaries. They can be overstimulated to the point they cut off their own blood supply, and you can have a surgical emergency.
Yeah, because they wouldn't infarct? Tell me anything over the
infarct.
Phone at all.
Infarct.
Yeah, I love that word.
Plus, I mean, just me personally, I find that's not a blank slate you're donating. That's like, you know, I mean, for me personally, it would be kind of weird to me that there could be potential multiple offspring of mine that I have no clue about or what they're doing. That's just me, though. I'm not making a moral judgment. I'm just saying that would creep me out a little bit.
It makes sense that there would be a sort of a biological connection to those things. You'd have sort of a...
If you want to call it spirit... I'm talking on almost like a spiritual kind of level of like, whoa, you know, I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that. Because it's not like that, like I'm saying, like a blank slate. It's your DNA and your... Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even if somebody else is taking it, and you don't know who they're going to combine that with.
Well,
you know, that's what I would think about. It's like, you know, whose donated sperm are they putting in with that and making people
could
somewhere.
Be like some of Mussolini's sperm that they saved before they hung him.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, probably only 50-50 chance of something like that, but still a chance.
Mm-hmm. Today, I can think of far worse.
But people do it. People do it, and people get by without any big problems. So it's,
Well, wait a second. How much are they going to pay you?
They said that I can get anywhere from $3,500 to $5,000. And the other day on the show, I heard Dr. Drew saying that you can get compensated almost up to $10,000.
Yeah, but you got to be hot and have a law degree.
Well, I'm not ugly. That's the thing is, you know, that's what I was wondering. Is that only like in the L.A. area? Because I've called around. And
well, let me figure this out. How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
5'7"? How much you weigh?
147.
Oh, a little bit thick.
I like that.
A little bit thick.
No, that's,
Everlasting
no, that's
thick
right.
Set.
That's right. There's nothing wrong. Yo, don't listen to him.
5'7".
He likes them bony little.
147.
You can see the ribs and the wrist bones.
I like them a little wafy, but yeah. I like the big cans on top of them.
Those ain't real. They real women don't come like that, dog.
Don't
let me tell
ruin
you.
Ruin it for me.
Big.
I guess
big
so.
Tit come with a big ass. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, usually. I mean, you got to look.
Dude, it's the truth.
All right. Don't poison me anymore. You're poisoning my mind, man. You're lucky I'm not high. I'd be freaking out right now. I'd vomit or something. And it's start crying.
Run out crying.
So, okay, 5'7", 147. Yeah, how much education do you have?
I'm going to be going to State University here in San Diego.
Ooh, yeah, San Diego State. That's a bad school.
No.
Didn't Marshall Faulk come out of there?
Yeah. Smartest guy ever came out of there. Let me ask you this.
Yo, my DJ, I think, went to San Diego State, man. I'm going to let him know.
Don't.
I'm going to let him know you was defecating on his school on the air.
It's a party school, you know?
That's what he said, too. I'll give you that.
Janelle, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
In World War II,
right.
The Allied powers and the Axis powers, who were they? Who were they?
Who were the Axis powers? Let's put
the
that.
The Axis powers?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Now you're down to 2,500. No, you know, Germany.
I don't know.
There was two sides.
I wasn't good in history.
All right, man. It proves my theory, by the way, that women know nothing about war. They never know anything about war. They don't know who we were fighting in World War II. Do you know who we were fighting in World War II?
I have no clue.
No clue. Really?
Wait, if we said Germany?
Sciences, that's what my major is. So.
Sciences, yeah. Okay.
All right, go ahead, Drew.
what is the carbonium ion theory?
Carbonium ion theory? I know that has something to do with chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the first law of thermodynamics? Oh, boy.
All right, now you're down to 1,500. Pretty soon you're going to have to pay them to take those eggs.
Oh, goodness.
All right, baby. Now, here's my point.
Stupid.
All right, listen, I don't know any of those answers either, but you did claim that was your topic.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the feeling I have, and I share it with Everlast, I think, and possibly Drew, which is if you are donating your egg, donate meaning giving your egg away so that a family or that a couple that wasn't able to
think
have
of a
child
donut, like a zero
can have
that's what donation
donating your egg for nothing, but you're doing it for purely philanthropic, and you can look that up later, reasons, then it's not a bad moral thing to do. But if you're selling your egg, then it comes with some moral baggage, I believe.
Well, I ain't
judging
that.
It, but that's what I exactly
people would argue that creating a market in human genetics is the problem.
It's freaky.
Right, and there's a, to me...
What's the style? All right, here's how my mind works, man. Some dude could be, like, buying these things up and making his own army of people somewhere, like the new L. Ron Hubbard, you know?
You know, by the way, forget about the new... I mean, his sperm's got to be around somewhere. I bet you John Travolta has some of L. Ron Hubbard's sperm, possibly in him. And he could produce that and mix it with her egg...
What do you got there?
Crazy, a San Diegan cult leader who didn't know anything about history.
Wouldn't be
or
the
science.
First time.
Or science. All right. Everlast is our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla.
It's a hit, dude.
It's Dr. Drew.
A new sitcom was invented during that break.
Yes.
Yeah, scrambled eggs. The egg, the egg is donated, and 15, 16 years later, the kid shows up at the doorstep.
That's it.
And wants some of the money. That's the first request. Yeah. That's some of the $3,500.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, and then hijinks ensue after this.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the intro every week is that going down.
The showing up at the door.
Yeah, yeah. No, the donating and buying of the shopping spree.
After the egg donation.
Like the Mary Tyler Moore show in the beginning where she's running around the streets and, you know, the pigeons are flying. You know, she's on a shopping spree on Rodeo.
And you know, it is kind of weird. I mean, this is the real sort of scary societal part is not only are your eggs for sale, but there is a price depending on how tall you are, how blue your eyes are. What your education is.
This is what people are concerned about.
I mean, it's just a few steps earlier than selling your actual child. I mean, in a weird sort of way.
Let's even go a little, yeah. some stretch it even further. Go. We took great exception to what the post-Weimar Germany was up to.
Right. Yeah, the whole Aryan thing.
That's right. And here we are.
Well, you know what it is? You know what the other...
You know, they won't... I mean, another thing is, like, people get all up in arms about a thing like, you know, stem cell research on, you know...
Right.
Children that aren't born or whatever, you know, stillborn, whatever, dead children. But nobody freaks out about somebody just slanging their eggs on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Scrambled eggs, baby. It's
the same eggs, man. Yeah. I think we're going to be rich.
Wait, aren't you rich already?
You're rich, too.
I'm saying we're already rich.
I don't get invited to the party place, but I've seen it. I've been on the block.
We're going to be richer.
Would you visit Everlast? I would be real there?
Yes, back in the day, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he had to move out of the neighborhood. We got together. He's a great kid, but we didn't want that element in there.
Yeah,
I hear he's Chicano.
His real name is Louie.
And you know his last name is one of those ends with the Alice or the Zez or the something. You know what I'm saying?
Alice.
Yeah, he's got one of them crazy Mexican names.
No.
Straight name?
Straight.
Schwartz. No.
No. A Jew. Either way, it's out.
Oh, you're wrong. You're getting letters behind that one.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you.
They know. Mexicans are Jews. No,
they got a strong lobby.
Rick.
Rick, you're 20. What's up?
Yeah, I got
a Rick?
Question.
Yeah. Well, we can kind of hear him, Anderson.
Let me see if I can try punch him in again. Rick?
Hey, hello? Yes.
Ooh, hello. I mean, it's so faint.
Yeah.
How's it going?
All right, well, he needs to hang on, and we'll see if we can't.
Yeah, figure that out.
Work that one out. I see Gay up here. I'm going with this. Okay. Jacob?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's that way.
Mm-mm.
Something's gone wrong. Put that on hold. Try live here.
All right.
Robert?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right.
Hi, my name is Robert, and I was wondering what pericarditis was.
It's inflammation of the sac that lines your heart. Your heart sits in sort of a sac. It's called a pericardium.
And really?
And it gets infected. Yeah.
Never hear about that.
Yeah. If you virus, your age, it'd probably be a virus, but you can get tuberculosis. You get all kinds of things in there.
So it's where do, like, the long-term effects by it, you know?
Usually nothing from a viral pericarditis. Usually it's fine.
Everlast, how's your valve doing?
Lovely.
Can we hear it?
Sure. Here, let's get down.
What's that?
Wait, let's hold on. Is that clicking?
Hello?
Hold on.
Hold on a second. I have to put everyone on hold because it'll screw everything up.
I'm giving you a show. No biggest hairs. That's dope.
That's the valve, right?
It's a Bjork Shiley, or what do you got it there? Right?
St. Jude's?
St. Jude's valve.
St. Jude's valve, yes.
And is that a mechanical
valve? Yeah,
titanium.
Titanium, but it's not. It doesn't have a power source.
No. There's the blood moving in and out, makes it go up and down.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ought to sample that.
Yeah.
Put that on your next.
Recorded. It's on every vocal track, you know, that I do. Like, because it's really, it's faint right here, but like when you're in just a tight booth, it's this small and it's on the
mic.
You hear it.
You do?
Oh, yeah. You sit around with me, like, and just watching TV. If it's in the right acoustics of the room, it's like, what the heck is that?
Really? I've
had many people be like, what's your watch? And I'm like, it's not my watch. It's me, you know.
It's a ticker, but it's not.
Wow. And how's the longevity of that valve? Is it
great.
Good?
Oh, yeah.
Don't have to monkey.
When I woke up, I was terrified they had put a pig valve in my heart. But they said they only do that to really older people because it only lasts like 10 years. Yeah. But I think it had more to do that with it was Cedar Sinai and their culture over there. I don't think it messed with the pig valve.
Well, why? But why would they not put the titanium in an older person?
I can't give you an answer to that.
Is it more expensive?
No. You know, you're on Coumadin?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't have to be anticoagulated when you're...
Luck.
Yeah.
And living just in the closest hospital to my house was Cedar Sinai and how much that had to do with the fact that I'm still alive today.
Yeah.
Like one of the best heart surgeons in the world was there.
I mean, when you had, well, what did you have? Was it a heart attack?
It was an upper ascending aortic aneurysm. Why, is what happened
to me. Transecting, dissecting aortic aneurysm.
Okay.
So, and if he was living in Nebraska and out on some farm somewhere,
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Because they needed to get you under the knife now.
And that my doctor, my actual everyday doctor, was affiliated with Cedars. He was, like, on the board. He did his own practice, but he was, like, over there. So my records were available. Because I came in the door, and no joke, they found out I was in a band, and I'm having a heart attack. They're like, this dude's probably coked out of his mind.
Yeah. Right.
Started treating me in that way. And then came up to me, like, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later with papers like, yo, we just found out what's really wrong with you. We've seen your records, and we know you were born with this, you know, bicuspid aortic valve, and it's torn. And, you know, we got to go in and operate on you, like, right now.
And they just did it right then.
And like I said, luckily, one of the best heart surgeons in the world was there, the kind of guy who, like, looked at what happened to me was pretty rare. Wow. And this guy looked at this like one of them things like, oh, I got to do this. He, like, really had that kind of attitude like, oh, this is something that don't come along every day.
So they did the whole thing right then and there, and there was no follow-up surgery or anything?
No.
See, that in a way, that's kind of the way to do it, because in a way, like, you don't want to get rushed in and then have someone say, after we stabilize you and talk to your family and stuff, in about 6 weeks, we're going to undergo an experimental.
I always tell people, like, because my mother had, like, 2 years later, had to have a triple bypass, and, like, she had to wait, like, 2 months to have it, and I always say, I never would have made it.
Yeah, that's the torture.
I would have skipped the country. I would have been like, I'm gone, you know?
Wow. All right. Everlast is here. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Well, that's the show. And it's Thursday. So I got to thank a bunch of people. First, Everlast for coming in here tonight.
Church.
Sure. Always good to see Everlast, and you can see him out at the Coliseum
on
Saturday. And everyone else that was in here this week, you'll see there, as well as many other bands. Sum 41, System of a Down, coming in here next week. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones. Tara, don't call me Tar, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones. Lauren for doing a great job filling in for Producer Ann. Of course, Producer Ann doing a great job for Producer Ann when Lauren is not filling in for her. And, of course, the Magic Finger One, Engineer Anderson, for sliding them potentiometers. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
House of Pain is so dope.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.